Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dima Mixon. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bank Corps studio here in Hattiesburg. We're glad you're with us. Impromptu news conference held today at the Southern Miss football. Dima was there, and we're going to have a lot of quotes and a lot of information about that news conference in just a little bit here on the show. Opening segment is sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, proud supporters of our program, and of course, more importantly, Southern Miss Athletics, at a great place to take your family for dinner. We'll have more on that press conference in just a moment, but first, we've got a great guest on the show today. The all-time great Southern Miss basketball player, I don't believe there's any argument, is Clarence Weatherspoon. After being the only man ever to be a three-time All-Metro Player of the Year, and that was saying something back in the days of the Metro Conference, Clarence Weatherspoon was the ninth pick in the 1992 NBA Draft and enjoyed a remarkable 15-year career playing with the best basketball players in the world. Recently named as the new head coach at Meridian Community College, and Coach Spoon, it is always a great pleasure to talk to you, and always a fun conversation. Congratulations on your new job.
Thank you, guys, and thank you for having me. It's an exciting time for me, and I'm excited, and I'm appreciative, and I'm ready to get started.
All right, Coach. I think here's the question a lot of people would have: 15-year NBA career. Enormously successful. Very, very few people do that. And it's no secret that if you play in the National Basketball Association, you make a lot of money, and you earned every dime. So what makes, after a 15-year NBA career, makes Clarence Weatherspoon want to be the head basketball coach at Meridian Community College?
You know, first of all, you know, it's a passion. You know, I enjoy coaching. I enjoy the competitiveness. I enjoy being around the kids, and I enjoy the recruitment. But it gives me a chance to make an impact in young people's lives. So, you know, one of the things I always done learned, and it helped me being able to see, touch, and be around people that's successful, and you know, and people who done been there where you trying to get as a college basketball player. So, you know, give me a chance, like I said, give me a chance to be an impact and create an impact.
Coach, 15 years in the NBA, you were the all-time leading rebounder at Southern Miss, all-time leader in minutes played, second in scoring, and you were only 6 points short of being the all-time scorer. Was there any point you went to Coach Turk and said, hey, let me have the ball a few more times. I want this record, too.
No, I wasn't thinking about records. I wasn't playing for records because, absolutely, it was the opposite. Some of those games, we were so far ahead, you know, we sit out. It wasn't like I was trying to get numbers. I was just playing. I was playing to do one thing, and that's win and represent the university and play for my teammates. You know, I never asked for points. I just went out and did my job.
Coach Spoon, now at Meridian, I've told everybody the MACCC now needs to consider the bar. Even though you're succeeding the great James Green at Meridian, now you take over. Every guy, I think, wants to play in the league. You know what it takes to get there. You've been there. You've done it. I would think that would be a huge recruiting plus for you as far as that goes.
Well, you know, you mentioned that the conference is exuperly, super competitive. It's great teams from top to bottom, great coaches. So, you know, it's not a, a walk in and you win. You know, I spent the last 2 years at Jones with under head coach New Miller that played at USM also, and we had to, you know, grind and coach and get after people, and we was able to get to two championship games, but it wasn't easy. So I'm not expecting to walk in here just because I played in the NBA or whatever and get all the best guys. It's still college basketball. Coach Green said that you're still coaching college basketball, and you got to put work in, and you got to get out and get after people and find good players.
Now, you're just kind of getting your feet wet as a head coach in this league. So how is the view different as the main man as opposed to an assistant?
Well, as always, the biggest thing is responsibility. You know, every win count against you, every loss count against you. So, and you're responsible for, like I say, you're responsible for the well-being of your players and a staff, and the way you represent the university, the community college. And, you know, the responsibility is just amped up a lot more, but the bottom line, you got a job you have to do, and you have to go out and put forth your best effort and be committed and ready to get after it.
Coach, Dima Mixon here. Just curious, you know, I played basketball in high school growing up, all years of high school. Went through a lot of different coaches, and a couple of them were different than others and such sort of their philosophy and stuff. How do you feel like yourself, what is your coaching philosophy? How much of the game do you feel like you differ in within other coaches?
Well, I've been blessed to be able to be around and play for great coaches. Starting in high school, I had a great coach, Coach James Grandison. You know, came to USM, had a tremendous staff with Coach Turk and Coach Mack and Coach Moore and all those guys. And being drafted, I had a chance to play for some of the best NBA coaches all time, Pat Riley and Doug Moe and Larry Brown, those type of guys. So I done learned a lot from being around those guys, but you got to adapt. I think being able to adapt, and I think that's one of the things I've learned over the last 8 years of being an assistant coach. You have to adapt, and you have to get players that fit a system or a style that you're trying to implement. But one thing you got to do is be able to let kids have fun. You got to be able to score the basketball. You got to be disciplined enough to play disciplined defense. The rules now is for scoring. You're not going to stop people from scoring. You just got to probably contain them, but you got to be able to score and be disciplined enough to go out and create mismatches and take advantage of situations.
Are you more of a fast break offensive kind of guy, or are you more of a move the ball kind of diabolical offense?
Well, I believe you got to be able to slow people down, first of all. I mean, you got to play some type of defense. And then offensively, I want to be able to get the ball up and down the floor. But, again, I'm looking for mismatches. I'm looking for situations where we can get easy baskets. I mean, I'm not going to be a coach that want to come down and shoot a three every time he touches it, because I don't think that works for everybody. It worked for Steph Curry and the greatest shooters, but it don't work for everybody because, you know, everybody's not those type of guys. So you got to be able to have a balance, like I say, of getting easy baskets, free throws, and mismatches. So, you know, that's my philosophy.
Coach, when you were playing at Southern Miss, who was the most physical guy that you went up against in your career at Southern Miss?
I wouldn't say physical guy. I mean, it's like I say, certain teams and certain styles. You look at a Cincinnati, they always was tough, physical, and rugged, because that's what Bob Huggins taught. He taught, get after. You're gonna play defense, and you're gonna rebound. You're gonna get after them if you're at Cincinnati. And then you look at the Louisville and the Memphis teams. They was loaded with top notch athletes and runners and jumpers. So it's just like I say, it's all about the guys you got and the style and the mismatches you can create. Like I say, Louisville had from 7 feet to 6'3", and you probably didn't see nobody shorter than that on the Denny Crum team. And you know, of course, Memphis, on Coach Finch and those guys, they had great athletes, and they was rugged and physical. So, like I say, it's styles and teams and players make make systems, but you have to adapt and you got to be ready to play against them.
Coach Boone, just a minute left. Very few. I would be willing to bet you less than 10% of the people that make it in the NBA play 15 years. What was the secret to a 15-year career where you were productive in all 15 years? What was the secret sauce that kept you going, Coach?
Well, I think, I was fortunate enough to play 13 physical years of actual action time, and the other time, I was going through a retirement phase. But, being able to adjust and being able to, catch on, I was fortunate enough to play with great coaches early, but my thing was I was playing with USA Basketball during the summer, so had played with all those guys, so it wasn't no newness to me, it wasn't no shock, it wasn't no awe, because I saw all the best players coming through college already, and we played in the Metro, and it was full of pros, so that gave me an opportunity to prepare myself at USM to play against the best guys and everything else. You come in and you adapt, you get used to it, you get stronger, you get faster, and you take care of yourself mentally, physically, and you eat well. So, it's all about how you adapt to it.
Coach, you were the greatest of all time at Southern Miss. I don't believe there's any sensible argument to that. And we wish you nothing but the very best of luck at your new job at Meridian Community College. Thank you for your time, Coach.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. I always enjoy talking to you guys.
All right, the great Clarence Weatherspoon, and I don't use that word lightly.
How would you like to tell Clarence Weatherspoon we don't need you anymore?
I wouldn't. Clarence is a big man.
Yeah, I've noticed.
We'll be back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank Clarence Weatherspoon, new head basketball coach at Meridian Community College. Good for Spoon. What a remarkable career. 15 years, played in 915 NBA games. And listen to this, guys. Over 915 games, he averaged 11.5 points a game.
It's pretty good.
Against the best basketball players in the world.
And I would think cumulatively over those 16 years, you add up all the money that he's made, he could probably live on that in Mississippi, don't you think?
Probably he's not working at Meridian Community College for the salary.
I think he's there for just because he loves it. Fall in love with the sport you play,
Well, and there's something, too, that's said about – something needs to be said about having a purpose.
Yeah.
There's no reason to get up in the morning, point?
I couldn't be however old he is and just not do anything,
Well, he stayed busy. He's been involved in coaching now for a number of years. And this is a remarkable stat. I mean, I'm old enough to remember, and I actually covered it as a sports director, the Metro Basketball Conference. And for you to be the player of the year three years in a row, with a basketball conference, if that basketball conference were in existence today, it would be as good as any in the country, without question. That is a remarkable achievement.
And I remember Louisville fans coming down to Reed Green saying, when does Clarence Weatherspoon graduate?
Yeah.
When can we get rid of this guy? Nice. I said, this coming from a team that had Purvis Ellison in the middle. When you Bob, you know, looking back on those Metro days,
it was great.
For Dima's benefit, you know, you had Purvis Ellison at Memphis, you had Elliot Perry, and in Virginia Tech, you had Bimbo Coles, you had Del Curry, who is Steph's dad, by the way, you had Wally Lancaster. I mean, the list of great players that came out of that Metro Conference and went on to play in the NBA, it really is stunning. And you're right. If those teams, Cincinnati, Memphis, Louisville, you know, Southern Miss,
Florida State, South Carolina, Virginia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, the list just, man, I wish that could be.
It was an incredible basketball league, no question. All right, this segment is sponsored by our good friends at Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net, where you always find the best Southern Miss apparel, and you'll always find Miss Kathleen. She is down there 7 days a week. Also, I want to thank Mobe Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, and financial investor Robert Gall has been communicating with him today. He is a great sponsor of this program and a great guy to talk to about your financial needs. And we really appreciate the great sponsors, clients like we have. We're so fortunate to have such a good relationship with so many great businesses here in the Pine Belt. All right, late yesterday we got word there was going to be a news conference today at football practice. Some select players were going to be made available. Coach Hall, this would be the first time that there's been anything public from the football team regarding the shooting last week. Dima was there. Before we get into any of the sound bites, Dima, just kind of set the scene. What was it like, and what was the, you know, what was the biggest impression you took away from this event today?
I would say the mood of the team was the biggest impression. So they didn't allow the media to watch whatever was going on the field. I think it was summer camp, summer league, summer training, you know. But we looked out of the windows right before the time we interviewed everybody, and they were releasing balloons, you know, honoring MJ. And normally, at a normal practice, I go to pretty much every football practice I cover for Rivals. So, normal football practice, when the team is coming off the field, it's very energetic. You know, they're kind of running into the locker room. Today, it was, you could have heard a pin drop. I mean, of how silent it was, how everybody was just kind of single filing, walking off the field. And the athletic department made available Will Hall, which is his first time we've been able to talk to him since everything happened. And then they also made available pretty much every player in the cornerback room who played alongside MJ. And it was actually some really interesting information that they gave, just kind of his story. And, you know, before we get into the quotes, I think it's important. This is just a cool story. So, you know, Will Hall first met MJ Daniels on the recruiting trail. Obviously, Daniels is a transfer from Ole Miss, right? So that was the first time that Hall met him. Now, down in Mobile in South Alabama, there was another coach that was really interested in getting MJ as well to the Jaguars, and that was none other than Dwight Wilson, who Will Hall then brought to Southern Miss in the spring, in the winter of 2023. And as soon as he did that, he said, quote, I got something interesting to tell you, he said, about telling MJ. And MJ said, what's that? And he says, I just hired a new corners coach by the name of Dwight Wilson. And MJ said, are you for real? And Hall said, yes. And he said, oh, coach, you know what I'm fixing to do. And he transferred right after that. So just the story of just all the connections. And every player we talked to, guys, said, and they were all most of the players we talked to were transfers. And Dylan Lawrence, Elijah Sabatini, both of them coming from State and Ole Miss, all because of MJ Daniels. They both specified that the reason they're here is because of him.
And Will Hall, the facts have borne out, Dima, that Coach Hall, I guess, unfortunately, was one of the first people on the scene after law enforcement was notified about this tragic event, yes?
Correct. Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go ahead. Let's run the soundbite that you got from Coach Hall, and here's what Coach Hall said today about the events of the past week.
We lost a great young man, a young man that had a beautiful smile, had unbelievable competitive nature. If my two boys grow up to be the competitor that he was, he played his best when it mattered the most. He was growing as a leader. And, you know, we always try to talk about living with the end in mind and how do we want it to look when it's over. You got to always think about that as you go through life. Anytime you're trying to accomplish something, How do you want it to look when you're through working on it? Well, you got to think about that with life, too. And if MJ wanted to be remembered for a competitor that lifted others up and had a beautiful smile and always brought joy to people, then he lived well, you know.
Coach Hall sounds a little emotional to me. What was his demeanor, David?
Yeah, he was very emotional. You can actually watch the entire press conference on YouTube. And if you notice on the first part, I think Andrew Abbotty, a person we have on the show a lot, asked him, you know, what has it been like? And Will Hall took probably 10 to 15 seconds before he could even answer. I think it was just, I'm just telling you that the mood of the team was so emotional. I mean, personally, I don't even know how they answered questions. You know, I mean, we're only a week removed from this incident, and got to give him credit for standing up there for about 9 to 10 minutes answering questions. Here's another clip that he said he was talking about MJ here, about his love for Southern Miss.
Oh yeah, he loved Southern Miss, like he really did, like he loved it. He had chances to go other places, you know. Other people offered him more money, he stayed here for less money, like a lot of our kids do, you know, because it mattered to him to be from somewhere. It mattered to him to have a legacy, which he will have. It mattered to him that his family could be here and he could get to his family. He was just an old soul from that standpoint. Those things meant a lot to him. And he loved this place. He did now. And this is where he wanted to be. And I always admired him for that, too.
You know, it's just the whole daggone thing is so senseless. And now we've learned that he was actually asleep in his car.
Yeah, that's
what's
true.
It appears that they just shot into the car, really not, I don't want to say not intending to hit him, but just carelessly shot into a car, and he's the victim of that.
Yeah, that's what the reporting of the incident sounds like. And obviously, we'd like to see some of the more investigative stuff. We don't want to assume anything. But, of course, reporting is that's the way it was, that the bullet entered through the back of the car into the back of MJ. So just a terrible situation. And I'm telling you, the mood of that team, it was a very emotional day. And I'm sure emotional for the rest of the year. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to come back from this.
It's hard for young people who haven't experienced a lot of life to even begin to understand death.
Yeah.
When you think about it. I mean, one minute MJ's here and the next minute he's not, and you'll never get to see him again. It's surreal as far as concepts go. And now you're asking a bunch of young men to try to wrap their minds around this. And, oh, by the way, you've got some really good football teams you're going to have to play, you know, this fall. This will be a huge challenge, you know, from a maturity standpoint and just from a game of life standpoint for these guys to go out and play well.
And Will Hall said that the final thing he told MJ was actually him encouraging him to do his schoolwork. He said, he texted him, he said, hey man, the reason I'm always on you is because I love you. I hope you know that. And he said, yes sir, I'll get it done. And he got it done. And Will said that was on Tuesday. So that was his last interaction with MJ. And that just tells you just about how much Will Hall cares about his players. Always text them, always making sure you know, they're following what they need to follow.
All right, when we come back, we've got some sound from Dylan Lawrence, Elijah Sabatini,
correct,
two cornerbacks on the football team. Both are transfer kids.
Correct.
Both knew MJ very well.
Yes. Dylan Lawrence was his cousin, so he's known him for a very long time. Elijah Sabatini, his roommate when both players were at Ole Miss.
All right, we'll have those comments on the other side of the break. I want to remind you about Genesis of Hattiesburg, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. Genesis sedans and SUVs are just the finest vehicles on the road today. Their new showroom is unbelievable. It's on Highway 98 West right here in Hattiesburg. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. Well, you can hear it anytime you like. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. More in just a minute.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Town & Country Cleaners is Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners. They're family-owned and operated since 1983, and they offer services like steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and, of course, dry cleaning. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners across from USM on Hardy Street or call up at 601-264-4920.
I actually went by there, Bob, and took some of my bulky bedding.
It's all your bedding is bulky.
And, yes, and one of the Roark, family, who's been, they've been just so great for Hattiesburg and big Southern Miss fans, one of the Roark boys was working in there, and I handed him my bulky bedding, and he said, "Mr. Sander, we don't clean parachutes." And I said, "No, wait a minute.
That's my bulky bedding."
I didn't know where that was going, to be honest.
Always makes you a little nervous.
It does, especially after, when we're talking about bedding.
Yeah, after 10 years, I still get a little edgy when he goes off script. So kind of like they do when Joe Biden goes off script.
So those right. of you that need your parachutes clean, that's
the place to go.
Yeah.
And if you need a good meal, you can go to 4th Street Bar and Grill. The food's always delicious there. It really is. We say that every day, but it's really true. And they have great sandwiches that you can enjoy in the evenings, a good cold Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, and there's always a game on the TV.
Man-sized portions, too.
Saw a picture. My wife and I were going through old college pictures this weekend and saw a picture of my wife, a college student at Southern Miss, in the Pine Haven Apartments with another of an endless string of parties, drinking a big cold PBR. So some things never go out of style, Kelly.
Those pictures were black and white, Dean.
Oh, are they?
No, they were actually in color. Yeah.
Oh, were they?
They were.
Okay.
But
the coolest thing you can watch is on History Channel or something like that, where you can watch the World War II in color.
That's
I think that's so awesome.
No question. You know what a Pabst Blue Ribbon is?
I do not.
Add that to the list.
See, Jack Duggan was supposed to be on the show tomorrow, but if he heard that right there, he may not come. Jack may boycott me after 10
Oh,
years.
Young Jedi, you've got so much to learn.
Padawan.
Yes.
All right, back to serious stuff. Dima was at the presser today for football, and Dima, I'll let you set this up, and I'd like to hear what these two young men had to say.
Yes, sir. So first and foremost, we got Dylan Lawrence. Dylan was MJ's cousin through a I was having trouble understanding exactly how they were related, but I think it was a grandfather, his brother, something like that, that he was trying to tell us about. But they're, regardless, they're related. And, you know, Dylan is a little bit older than MJ. He's a Mississippi State transfer, but Dylan has known MJ for almost his entire life. And MJ had hung around Dylan Lawrence's brother for most of their growing up. And so Dylan kind of just took MJ in as his younger brother, and this is what he had to say when we interviewed him this morning.
Ever since I was a little kid, man, growing up, of course, MJ was younger than me, so MJ was always around with my little brother, and so I kind of always took MJ in as my little brother. You know, everything I did before college, when I got to college, and even still, you know, to this day now. And I'm sad to say, but yeah, I'm sorry that my brother has to watch over me, you know, and I can't watch over him.
So, like he said, he's sad that his younger brother has to watch over him instead of him being able to watch over him. So, just a sad situation. But again, it just showed how much MJ really had pull. He was very, very encouraging, very much persuasive, because he's the reason Dylan Lawrence is at Southern Miss, and he's also the reason that Elijah Sabatini is here. And Elijah Sabatini, you know, he said that MJ was the reason he came to Southern Miss. He was his roommate back at Ole Miss. So I just asked him. I said, "Why was that the case? I feel like you're like the fifth player that's told us that MJ brought you to Southern Miss," and this was his response.
You know, MJ, I would say he was really good at influencing people. Like, you know, if he wanted to come out and do some extra work one day and he called me and I'd be like, "No, like, not today," he'd be like, "Man, Sal, come on, man, get up, don't be lazy." Like, that was the type of person he was. He always wanted to get the best out of somebody. He always wanted to, you know, push you and let you know that he had your back, and just like you, I had his, or anybody, any one of these other kids had. And, you know, that was just what type of person he was.
I don't think that I don't think this is something that's going to leave the minds of these young men, even when football season starts, Damon.
No, I don't, and I'm actually excited to see kind of the what they do to honor MJ throughout the season, whether or not it's wearing a sticker on the back of their helmet, perhaps, or maybe I saw them holding, maybe it looked like a brace, and a few of them kissed it and a few of them hugged it, and I can just assume that maybe that was MJ's brace or some kind of equipment that he wore, or you know, somebody being able to wear that or maybe run out the tunnel with that, something along. I'm just interested to see of how they honor him.
Part of what you're seeing here transpire is what sports is all about.
Yeah.
You know, you see, like, at homecoming time, 50-year-old men, and women for that matter, will get together. They won't get together with their science class. They won't get together with just random friends. They get together as teams. These were my teammates. These are the people that worked together, that sweated together, that threw up together, that had each other's backs, as you were saying, Dima. There's something magical about sharing that space and sharing that time that is endless. And regardless of how old people get to be, it's just there's something about being on a team of competitive sports that brings you back. Unfortunately, MJ won't get to share that with these guys, but his memory will continue to live on. And him not being here, him being far away, will actually bring these guys closer together.
Yeah, and to bounce off of that, we asked Will Hall. We said, "What was it like? Did you stop practice? Did you have what did you do after?" And he said, "We didn't." He said, "We still had our team meetings and we still worked because we know that that's what MJ would want us to do." And he said he thought that those moments brought the team even closer than the actual night or the morning after it happened.
I agree with everything you said, Kelly, but I'm going to throw this in. This is not what college sports is supposed to be about. We're not supposed to be sitting here talking about a football player being senselessly murdered. I mean, it's a terrible comment on our culture and our society, and it's just not the kind of thing you want to be talking about or we should be talking about. How did we get here? How did we get to this point of our culture where a 16-year-old kid will shoot through the back of a car and kill an innocent person, 16 well, years old.
Well, since you asked me that straight up, I'll give you my answer, and it might not be popular with a lot of people, but as a country, we have decided to become more and more godless. Yeah. God gave us free choice to make decisions as to what direction we want to go. It's not that God has left our country. This country has left God, and it's our choice. And we're the only ones that can bring it back around. You hope and pray, and everybody does daily, that we'll get back on the right track. But the devil has chosen to attack the American family, the breakdown of the American family.
Yeah.
You know, less morals, less discipline. You know, if it's good, if whatever you want to do. Well, when there are no rules in society, that's chaos.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it comes down to. And you know, as bad as this is, and I too feel badly, and I know a lot of people might argue this, I feel badly for the three young men that have been arrested. This is their lives now are essentially over. You know, in the wink of an eye, you know, there's three more lives that are essentially over. And I feel whatever led them to this, I feel horrible that they felt that inkling to do what they did. I feel sorry for their families. There are no winners in this at all, including those three young men. But if you believe that God is in control, somehow, some way, some good will come out of this.
I'm old enough to remember when you started every school day by saying a prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Can't do that anymore.
That's just old school now, isn't it?
It's a sense of lawlessness over the country and the world, which, bouncing off of what Kelly said, maybe an unpopular opinion, but that's why I believe, you know, we're trending towards the last days. And, you know, Scripture says that the spirit of lawlessness will be over the country, as was in the days of Noah. And if you look around the country, everybody, you can't say to people what they don't want to hear.
No.
It's just everybody's own opinion versus everybody else's. That's a spirit of lawlessness. Yeah. That's a spirit of control.
And not to bring politics into it, but we live in a country now where we're literally today being told, don't believe what you see. We're telling you the truth about this, and it's not what you see. It's what we're telling you. And when we start succumbing to that sort of thing, what's left of the spirit in the country?
And when there is no truth anymore, there's
nothing's true.
What you believe and what you believe could be diverse. Diverse on opposite ends of the spectrum.
We don't want to get off too heavy of the show, but I will tell you, this has just been heartbreaking, and this has been like a black cloud, Dima, since it happened, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, it was a shock the moment that everybody found out it happened, and as more pieces of the puzzle continue to come together, and more pieces of the story. You get to hear the hard stuff, but you also get to hear the good stuff about how great MJ was and how much of a leader he was. And that's the good thing sometimes that comes out of this, is just how much together you see the Southern Miss football team.
Well, Southern Miss, like I don't think any other school, is a big family. We're small enough to all know each other, and we're big enough to have a voice, and the Southern Miss family will get through this.
More news from the Sun Belt, Southern Miss fans. Coastal Carolina making some moves in baseball. We'll tell you about that and have more stuff when the Eagle Hour continues.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Fourth segment of the Eagle Hour, sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street. Excuse me, great place to take your children for baseball and softball training. Luke Reynolds is the manager there. We've been trying to get Luke on the radio show. I got a sales guy that's going to be down there today and going to talk. Luke, if you're listening, we want you on the Eagle Hour. Luke Reynolds, great baseball player. And the manager of DBAT right there on Hardy Street. Jay Ladner and Jack Duggan on the show tomorrow. Jack's kind of tentative because of Dima. Dima's saying things that are kind of scaring Jack away about Hank Williams and PBR.
I went to DBAT this weekend for the first time.
Yeah?
Phenomenal.
Nice, isn't it?
It was awesome. Yeah. It was so fun.
What would you go to DBAT for?
I was just swinging the bat. I like to swing the bat a few times, and me and my dad went and put the little pitch speed on like curveball 60 mile an hour just so we could see if we could hit it. And we were making contact, but man, I don't know how they hit, 70 mile an hour curveballs or I think the fastest fastball at DBAT was like 70 miles an hour. These guys are hitting 95 and moving. That's just insane.
That's why a good player hits 250 or 275.
Right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Jay Ladner on the show tomorrow about new recruits. Jack Duggan, 16 Golden Eagles, and that's what he's going to talk about. 16 Golden Eagles playing professional baseball right now, guys. That ain't bad for a little school, huh?
It isn't at all, and there's more. There's no reason to think that the train won't continue to roll right along as the years go on. Coastal Carolina making some changes on their coaching staff. Of course, they had head coach retire in the offseason, and now they've got a new pitching coach courtesy of South Carolina, because Carolina, of course, they got rid of their staff. Former LSU coach Maneri now is the head coach at South Carolina. So some of the Carolina coaches are moving on, Dima.
Yeah, Matt Williams has been hired as the next pitching coach by the Chanticleers out of South Carolina. So good for him and good for the Chanticleers. Anytime you see some good coaching changes, for the league, it's just good for the league. You want your league to be good. You want your RPI league to be good. So you don't want a team like an Arkansas State. Like, I think them getting the Nicholls State head coach is a great for the league. You want all of the teams excelling. You don't want them to overtake Southern Miss, obviously, but you want them to be good.
And I think it was good that Arkansas State came to the realization that, look, we don't necessarily have to keep up with the Joneses, but you at least got to keep up with the Smiths.
Yeah.
Right? So they've started to pump some more money into that baseball program, which was something that Coach Silva said is either going to happen or he's going to stay, you know, at Nichols. So so anyway, the Chanticleers have a new pitching coach by way of the SEC.
You know, we'll be talking, as we mentioned, to Jay Ladner tomorrow. And guys, Jay's no different than anybody else. Basketball, I think, seems to be particularly hard hit, but it's just almost like it is a new team every year.
Yeah, with the one-and-done stuff in college basketball now, especially. I mean, even not even just Southern Miss. You look at any other big-name schools, such as Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, whoever they are, you know, you don't even know who the roster is until January because they're all new players.
Right.
But I think Coach Ladner, of all the Southern Miss coaches, I think he was in the forefront of all this transfer portal and stuff ahead of time. I mean, even going back to COVID, remember when you half the season, you know, you didn't get all the games in because of COVID, and then some, you know, players were ineligible because of COVID tests. And so he's essentially been juggling the roster ever since he got here. Yeah. So if there's a guy that has years under his belt of knowing how this works, you know, it's him. But it'll be interesting for me tomorrow to see how this roster is beginning to take shape for the upcoming season. And you sit there and go, basketball season? Yeah, but remember, because of these NCAA rules, they start practice in, what, October now? Yeah. Or early October? Yeah.
Pretty late.
Yeah, and so it's not that far away when you think about it.
It's funny because, you know, men's basketball kind of floats under the realm of baseball and football just because it's sandwiched in between, and football's kind of ending and then baseball's kind of starts. You know, so men's basketball, you got to give Dre Ladner, when you think about the job he's done in his few years here, of what he was given when he started out and where the basketball program is now. I mean, it's an incredible change, especially what he did two years ago, and then last year, you know, injuries just killed the team, but that was a very talented roster.
But I think one of the reasons that injuries are killing not just Coach Ladner's team last year, but a lot of teams, and we talked about this a little bit before you came on board, Dima, was that we were under the general impression and feel that the college basketball season is too long.
Yeah.
It's just too long. When you take a look at football, really encompasses September, October, November, and half of December. That's 3.5 months.
Yeah.
Some Division I basketball teams are playing games now November 1.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe even backing up in
yeah,
October.
Yeah, I'll say that. October 30th, you know, something like that.
Yeah, so October, November, December, January, February, March. And if you play in the Final Four, you're into April. That's 7 months as compared to 3.5 months for football.
I mean, it's it mirrors an NBA season if your team doesn't go to the playoffs.
So there's no reason why, in my opinion, and that you can't shorten the college basketball season some. I remember back in the old days, Bob, you remember this too, you didn't even hear of a basketball game until after Thanksgiving.
Correct.
And now they're playing at Halloween.
Yeah. Started playing high school football the first weekend of September.
And we're done by Thanksgiving.
Yeah. All right, Jay Ladner, Jack Duggan. Now, there's a reason to tune in tomorrow. And we're going to do a musical trivia contest with Jack and Dima tomorrow. We're going to.
Oh, that's good. That should be fun.
That'll be fun.
And with Jay Ladner. Jay's
Can
a music
I pick the
fan.
Songs?
You better Google Smashing Pumpkins.
Then don't forget Thursday, Karnak.
Kelnak.
Karnak's dead. Kelnak. And Karnak knew that.
Yes.
And Kelnak knows that Karnak is dead. Right?
That's right.
Kelnak, Karnak.
And Hump the Wonder Camel.
Somebody from the Middle East will be here Thursday. We'll be back. Southern Miss.
To the top.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.